Hello and welcome. This is the Tiffness Fitness Podcast, a podcast where I talk to coaches, athletes, and strength enthusiasts from all backgrounds to talk about strength in all its forms, coaching, life, balance, and more. Today's guest is Dana Vickers. You've seen her on Instagram doing some amazing flow work with kettlebells, clubs, mace, everything. She's phenomenal, and I'll just let you listen to the episode. I'll check in with you at the end.
What? Your traps right now.
they are kind of popping for first thing in the morning.
I can't see. I don't even have that. It's just it got a little sport.
It's kind of a little sport because you hold the bell over your head for so long. Kettlebell sport. I did not have traps back when I first started doing kettlebells. But as soon as I started doing sport, These things just exploded, and I was like, I guess this is what we're doing now.
There's nothing to stop it.
I have kind of big. My arms are kind of big. I didn't think that they were big, and then my sister came to visit, and she looks like me. Like, we're identical, but she's 10 years younger than me, and she is a dancer and like a theater kid. And I was like, oh, I actually am like. kind of big. I'm kind of built like a linebacker compared to you, because she's just got these little dainty. I'm not mad about it. Like, I mean, I put work in for them,
right?
But she's all dainty, and I was like, oh, okay. I am bigger than I like thought I was. We were taking pictures next to each other, and I was like, dang, you're so small. You're so frail.
She got mad at me.
Cause she set her flight to leave. I had to leave the house at 4 o'clock in the morning for her like 7:45 in the morning flight. I was really mad at her. And I told her that I wasn't going to do it. Just, you know, she's 10 years younger than me. I have to fuck with her a little bit. And she tried to like push me. it didn't feel like anything. And so I went like this back at her, and she got like slid down the hall. I was like, you need to be stronger. Like, I should be able to one arm deck you. She was like, I'm strong. And I was like, you're clearly not strong. If I'm able to just like, not even like think about it, slide you down the hall.
All the way down the hall.
And she was like, well, I was like, that's okay. But just know that don't try to fight me. Like, I don't know what you, like, you know that I'm physically out of the siblings, probably the strongest. I mean, my brother's also pretty strong, but I'm the only one who actually trains it. Don't try to come at me. Like,
wait, so like you have two siblings?
Yeah, I have two siblings. I have my sister's 10 years younger than me, and my brother is 3 years younger than me.
You're the oldest.
Yeah, I'm oldest. I'm oldest sister energy for sure, I think. But my brother just had a baby.
Congratulations.
So I went. Yeah, they really wanted him. So I have a little nephew now. But he was in the Marines. He's now Navy Reserve, and he's training to be an underwater welder. So he's strong as well, but he's a different kind of strong than I am. He used to be really weak also, and it was great because I was always kind of the biggest person. And then in high school, he learned how to do wrestling, and then it was over for me. Yeah. I was really able to push him around until he figured out how to combat my moves. Yeah, and that was a real bummer for me the day that he, like, got me. And
yeah. I don't
not that I physically brother. Fight my siblings that often, but you know, you do a little bit. Like, there's a little bit
it's
of
like, yeah, there's a little tussle. There's a transition period. Like, for the most part, you got it, and then all of a sudden
now we really don't. For my sister, like, trying to be like, you have to take me to the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, no, get out of here. And then I didn't realize that I was going to break her. We did a video, it was a couple of years ago. She came to visit when I lived in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And we did it was a chest bump thing. And she got decked by my chest bump. It was a it was some video where you like go down and then you go up and then you like chest bump. I don't remember what it was. It was so goofy and it was really funny. It's my favorite video of us of all time because she just looks so scared, which is part of why she fell down. And then she just gets
if bodied. You find it, please send it to me.
Oh, I have it saved. I'll send it to you. It's my favorite one. Do you have siblings? Are you an only child or
no? I have a younger brother. He's actually 10 years younger than me.
Oh, so you get it.
That's why I said, like, I understand the plight. Because at some point, I used to be, you know, get out of here.
Yeah,
back up.
Why are you so close to me all of the time? Get out of my space.
Yeah. And now it's kind of like, I don't care that she's taller than me.
No. No, I guess with a brother it would be a little bit different, too, because... Because they get big fast. Like, all of a sudden, they sprout up.
Yo, I was at school because I went away for college.
Mm-hmm.
And he was maybe, like, this tall. And then all of a sudden, I came back. He was like this. And I was like, who is this grown man in my house?
You're an adult. Get out of here.
Yeah, like, what?
Was like a... There was like a 6 month period where he was short, and then all of a sudden he got. You're like, what? What is this? And my brother's all bones. Like, he's so gangly, and he's fit into his body since then. But he's always been very lean, and like he's a cross country runner. Like so he was just like all of a sudden he's like Jack Skellington's living in my home, and I was like, what are you doing here? Get out of here. Which is why it was so easy to mess with him until he figured out how to, you know, use all his bones and try to get me. how long have you been, like, working out for? Has it, like, been a whole lifetime thing? Were you in sports or?
So funny. My go-to story is I came out the womb doing crunches.
Great. We love it.
I just came out ready for all the smoke. But I did. I started playing softball when I was, I think, I want to say 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's off season, on season. And I played all throughout high school. And then I was on a dance team in college. But I met some friends at Foot Locker. And we just started going crazy. We did like T25 and Insanity. We all got super lean. And I think I was maybe like 21, 22. And I've been at it for a solid 10, 12 years now. Not to tell my age. Nobody needs to know.
I think we're the same age then, right? Like, that's not so bad.
Nobody needs to know. Nobody. No, just know it's fine wine. Mwah.
I mean, I thought you were younger, like significantly younger than me, actually. So...
Crazy. I asked my coworker yesterday. She was like, "Oh, you look so young." I'm like, "No, I'm an old fart." And she's like,
"Yeah, I feel old all the time. I live on a military base, and this is not a spot where 30-year-olds hang out, especially childless 30-year-olds."
Oh,
wow. So like, there's like, I'm around people who are younger than me who also have kids, and so they think I'm younger than they are, and I'm like, no, dude, I just don't have kids. I'm just childless. That's why I pulled off fitting in with everyone. Tricked you. Children age you quite a bit very quickly.
Taking my time. Definitely taking my time. I'm trying to feel 25. Actually, I don't feel 25. I feel 30 now.
I can't do the things. I know I can't do the things I did when I was 25. Because when I was 25, I was doing stupid crap when I was training. When I was 25. I think it must have been. I was training for a half marathon and two events for kettlebell sport. Is insanity. And I did a half marathon one weekend, and then I went to the California Open Worlds the next weekend. And I did great at both. I couldn't do that now.
Yeah, I can't do that now.
I got a sub 2 hour on my half, and then I did a 200 and something, 229 reps or something crazy on my snatch. And then my long cycle, and I was like, "Ah, oh, this is great. This is what I can do." And then, you know, pretty quickly after it started to, you know, deteriorate, and I was like, "This is not a thing I can do," which is how I have to like be very strategic with how I program for myself now. But yeah, I was talking to somebody else, and I was like, "Yeah, that's the thing I did." But like now, if I tried to do that, no, I was running like 20 miles a week and then also training sport. I'd run like 10 miles in the morning and then in the evening I'd go do a sport practice. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. And then I was like, why am I tired and moody all of the time?
Right.
While also simultaneously not eating enough. Like there's
Let's talk about it though, because I used to be at the gym for like 3 hours. I've learned to do so much better. But on a regular basis, like 2.5 hours and just maneuvering through my day in my 20s. But the moment I hit 30, I need like a 2 hour nap after a solid good leg day, like heavy, like 225 squat, 315 dead, like all of that. I need a
You
nap
have to
and probably
like
a
plan
day to.
it a lot better. You have to be a lot more strategic because it's like I can't like what I'm planning right now because I'm training for sport and I'm training my bent press. It's like I can't do like a big bent press one rep max and then also the next day do an 8 minute snatch set. My body will not allow it. I could probably get through the workouts, but I'm gonna feel like crap for the rest of the week. And like, what's the point at that point? Like, I'm not training. I'm training to be an athlete and I'm training to like be good in the events that I'm training for, but I'm also training so like I can like function throughout my life. Like I want to be like able to move. I don't want to be sore all the time. I'm not training for that like achy sore thing. What it happens still, but like that's not what I'm working towards. And I know when I was younger, that was like the big thing. I was like, I want to be sore. I want to be like dripping in sweat. Like that's what I'm always working towards. And now it's just like I'm gonna do my 45 minute workout and I'll get stronger because it's a well-structured plan for myself.
Program,
And
right?
also I'm not gonna feel like crap tomorrow. Like I did, you know, I did I like this week I've done a bunch of stuff and I'm fine. Like and I'll feel good. I just need to, you know,
Man,
like
no, I'm
I've
not gonna lie. I feel terrible. I've been going really heavy in the gym, and the sore is crazy. Like I hit it's been a while since I've been able to bench heavy. Because I dislocated my shoulder and I have a slap tear, so I have had to like really take it easy. But I hit, what is it, 135, almost 140 last week on a bench press. My shoulders was fine, but working out after that, shoulders was done. I've been doing more like presses, shoulders done. Deadlifts, I think I hit like 325 or something like that. Back done.
I mean,
Done, done.
that's heavy work though. I'm not training. All I'm training is in this little space here. So like I don't have the heaviest bell I have is 32. I did just get a barbell, but I don't have any plates. So like there's only so much heavy work I can do. It's a lot and for sport and for the things I train for, I'm not training like heavy maxes isn't something that's super beneficial. So the only thing I ever really max out on is bent pressing, and I can't do that here because I don't have the weight. Like physically, I don't have the actual weights to use to max out on that. So I am not training to that capacity. And that makes a difference because sport is not a low volume, high weight game. It's a very high volume thing. And honestly, the thing that hurts the most after those is my hands. My hands are fried at the end
I
of
can only
those.
imagine because my calf is. I tried to do a muscle up last weekend. That's my goal. I'm gonna get it back, but my calluses was just like so dark and nasty, and that's just it's not cute.
Do you do like hand care on them, like shave them down at all?
No, you want to know what I do? I just pick at it.
No, you have to. You gotta get like a little pedicure set. That's what I use on
Oh
my
my God.
hands. It's disgusting. And
Time and
you shave
effort.
them down.
Time and effort. I just said, this is
It
easy.
takes like 5 minutes. It takes like a couple minutes. Sometimes you'll bring in like the shower when the hands are really soft, and you just and it's
Oh, that's
easy. And then
smart.
because your hands are good, or right after. That's what I normally do. But for sport, you have to shave them down because if your calluses are built up too much and you catch it wrong, that whole
Oh,
thing's
that's
coming off.
yeah.
And that's a nightmare. It sucks for like your set that you're doing, but also it just sucks. It hurts. There's blood. It's a gross situation. So you have to take care of your hands. I also got like a really good hand lotion like afterwards too, just to like, because chalk also like sucks all the moisture out of my hands. So yeah, it's a lot of planning. So I don't hurt myself so I can be an adult. Also, the nice thing is if you do tear my hands, I can tell my husband that I can't do the dishes because it hurts. Because there's water going in it, and then he can do the
Yeah,
dishes.
you have to do the dishes. I can't
I
do it.
can't. My hands. It hurts, and he would do this. He would do the dishes anyway. Like it's not like I have to talk him into doing the dishes, but
Must be nice.
he's like just do them. He's like,
That
I
must
was gonna
be
do
good.
them. Yeah, he's good. He's a good egg.
I'm rooting for you.
He's a good dude. I like him. How from like doing sports and stuff did you find flow? Like the flow work that you did you how did you stumble
Oh,
upon
it
the
was
flow
a nice
work?
little stumble. It was nice. So, if you remember, I said I was on a dance team in college. So, movement at that point was really important to me. And I loved it. And then I started to get into like the whole workout shenanigans where it was very, strict push-ups, pull-ups, very up, down, sideways kind of thing. And I had stumbled across Animal Flow.
Oh, cool.
I was
I think
like,
that was the first
ooh.
thing I stumbled into as well.
Yeah, the more I asked, the more people kind of say the same thing. But I was getting into that, and then a pandemic happened. And I had bought my
As it
first set
does.
of kettlebells. Exactly. I got my first set of kettlebells for my birthday. Oh, Christmas. My birthday and Christmas are really close. So I was doing it, and Ricardo had messaged me because we had went to high school together, and he was like, "Hey, you need to come work out with us in Brooklyn." And for the longest time, I procrastinated, and I'm like, "No, nah, I'm not going to Brooklyn. I live in Queens. That's like a that's a long drive. That's the Belt Parkway for those who know. Ghetto. Don't like it." But I had finally went. And they started flipping a kettlebell and just doing stuff. And I was like, oh, you guys are dancing. Like, you're
Yeah.
just dancing and grooving. I need that. From that day, was on it.
Yeah, you just built from there.
Yeah, I bought my first competition kettlebell. I think it was like 12 kg. Oh my God. When I try to flip that now, the thing is heavy.
It is a
But
heavy belt flip.
it is, and that's the first one I started with. Like I did the wolf flip with that, the side flip. Like I was doing
Damn.
stuff. Yeah, but I've learned.
I can't even do a wolf flip with an eight. So that's
Yo, I
great.
think you can do it. I'll be
I think
watching
I
it.
could if I like put the practice into it. I think there's a lot of things I could do if I put like a lot of effort, but I only juggle like once a week.
Really?
Yeah, that's all I do. It's all I do with everything else I do. It's like an active recovery for me. For me, it's not like something I'm like drilling. Some days I am. Like some days when I do my juggling, it is like I'm practicing a move over and over again. But I can't I when I'm doing snatch twice a week, I'm doing bent press twice a week. I have to do like a day of like actual regular ass strength training. That's not like very sport specific. And then I juggle. And that day is more and I tend to run that day as well. And that day is just for me, without any, like, I try to make that day not a day where I have to do something. It's stuff that I like want to do, like, so it keeps me on track for everything else that I'm doing. Especially like right now when my programming is so structured because I have stuff I'm working towards. Like I have competition in May. I'm really trying to build my bent press back up to where it was because I don't think I lost my strength, but I'm out of practice for heavy bent pressing for the since mid-December, maybe November. So juggling for me is just that the time where I can just like do whatever the heck I want. I can put my music on and I can just mess around, and then eventually the flows that I make come together.
They come
And I just
together,
sort
you're
of,
moving and
yeah, you
grooving
just,
with them.
yeah, it's just the day that like I'm like, okay. And then and some days it comes together really good, and some days it doesn't, and you just have to roll with it.
Right? I hate those days. But I'm so curious, how does your workout routine work when you don't have a competition? Because I know when I was doing Spartan races, my whole mentality about working out was different. It was very much cardio, high intensity. I would try to throw in some heavy stuff, but it was really just like, I need to make sure that I feel like shit, excuse my language, because I know during a Spartan race, I'm gonna hate it.
It's you gotta train that like this is gonna suck and I have to be okay with it mentality, which is
Yeah.
what you train for sport as well. You could probably be a good sport lifter if you wanted to be, because if you could do that, if you can embrace the suck for that long, you can embrace the suck for 10 minutes. But if I'm not training for a competition, which I haven't for a really long time, I'm still training for something. Like my focus will just shift to bent pressing at that point. Right now, bent pressing is like a, I'm still training it. Like I'm progressing, I'm pushing myself and stuff. But my focus will just shift to bent pressing being my main effort lift, so I can be better at that. 'Cause even though there's not a competition for bent pressing, I'm still trying to be the best at it. And that's heavy as hell. So I have to, I have to plan for that and push it, because when I but that's the thing with combining these two lifts is it's really hard to do both at full capacity. So one of them has to kind of take the back seat. So right now bent pressing is in the back seat, and then as soon as I do this competition, I'll shift to doing like a lot harder bent press work, and then I can, hopefully PR on that, and then I'll take a break from that, and then I'll do sport depending on when competitions are coming up. Because I haven't competed in person since 2019, so I've done online. I've done three or four online competitions, but it's not the same. It's not the same energy. And I went, so I moved to Washington, and so I went in February to a competition up north. I had a client competing there, and I was like, oh my God, like this is so much better. Like I remember it, and I always tell people like the energy in competitions was great, but I hadn't been in it since 2019. And I was like, oh, this is good. Like I want to do this again. So I signed up for a competition. So I'm gonna go do a not a super hard snatch set, one that's very doable, but I'm gonna do that and then shift back to bent pressing, because that's honestly sport. I love sport, but I think sport's something that's always going to be there. Like there's legends categories, which is like an older person category. That's what they call it. So that's how they phrase it. So I feel like sport's always going to be something like I'm going to have like access to as long as I take care of myself. But maxing out on bent pressing, I don't think is going to be something that I'll have access to for forever. Like there's only so long before I'm not going to be able to lift 60 kilos or something, or 50 kilos. I'm at 50 now, but I would like to get to 60. And there's going to be a point where that's not going to be doable. But like, I don't know when that is. So
That's
hard to know. And I don't want
insane.
to like sell myself short, or like sell people as they age, as they sell people as they are aging. Like, I don't want to make them feel like it's not possible. But also I just know at some point it's not going to be a thing that's doable. Like, but also then you see some older people who are crushing it, like 65 or something, and they look like they are lifting like they're 40 or 30, and I'm like, okay. So it's hard to know. But that's it. I went off the rails a little bit, but my programming just sort of goes in waves depending on what's important and what's backseat. And juggling at this point is always a backseater, because it's fun, and I like not having structure. Like I know there's a lot of like competition juggling. I'm talking with Carlos tomorrow, so I'm sure we'll talk more about it. But like, I don't want to turn juggling into something that I have to like not look forward to. Like, it's always something that like makes me feel good at the end of it. And I feel like if I was like true drilling every single session, I would find less joy in it. And juggling is joy for me. Like, that's the whole point of it. And I want it to be that for me. Because sometimes sport is not joy. Sometimes bent pressing is not fun. Some of those days I'm like, this is garbage and everything feels like crap. And generally speaking, juggling doesn't feel like that for me. And I want to hold on to
Hold on to it
that.
possible. I feel the same way. It becomes very therapeutic for me, which is why I have so many things that I try to like engage and flow with
Yeah.
and the ropes and the clubs and just, well, body weight, anything that allows me to really tap into the flow state or my unconscious, and just I'm moving and I'm a bit like present but a bit disassociated. I look forward to it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how you said like basically like you're training for the season that you're in, whether it's age or just a competition or just regular, this is just what I'm doing. It's just like it's knowing what brings me joy in the moment, what makes me feel good, and making sure that I can show up
Yeah.
every time.
Yeah.
It gets
Yeah, and that's
deep.
the point. I think with training, a lot of times people go all in on one of those things. Like, it's all in, like, on competing, going hard, doing the thing, or they go all in on just having fun. And if you're doing all in on one, it's gonna, it's you, you're
It's
not gonna, you're
from
either
the other
gonna
side.
break yourself, you're gonna,
Yeah.
like, you're gonna hurt yourself because you're going so hard all the time, and you're gonna burn out and you're not gonna like it, or you're gonna have fun all the time, which is awesome. And if you don't have anything you're training towards, rad. Do the thing, have fun all the time. But if you're having the like, goals that you're working towards, it's nice to have a little bit of structure. It's nice to have a little bit of like things that you can do, and that's going to help with your fun as well. It's just finding that balance between those things that's best for you. And what's best for me is maybe not what's best for you. You got to find what's best for your goals, your life, your body, and do that instead of like being like, I'm gonna, this Instagram influencers does this, I'm gonna just copy their stuff. Like, okay.
Right? I had my season of that, but it is really a balance and making sure that your workout balance or your workout life balances your everyday life or your hobbies. I'm very into hobbies. As a therapist, I tell my clients all the time, like, make sure you have things that you do for yourself. Like, not just the gym, not having sex or drinking or buying clothes, like something that makes you feel good, mind, body, and soul. And one of the hobbies that I picked up is bowling. I love it. It's like
That's so fun.
crack. Me and my dad go on Wednesdays, and sometimes on Saturdays. We go Tuesday, Wednesday, actually. Tuesday practice, Wednesday is our league. And then sometimes on Sunday we'll go. But with that being said, I couldn't do much kettlebell flow because I was really nervous about messing up my shoulder. I didn't want to do all the heavy overhead flips and the wolf flip, the going to the side. Like I couldn't do all of those because I was extra paranoid about my shoulder. So I really had to dial down what I was doing. And I had the slap tear on my dominant shoulder. So I really couldn't do anything heavy. I had to drop down to an 8 kg for the kettlebell. I couldn't do any upper body. I lost my muscle up, which is why I'm trying to get it back. So I really had to accommodate myself so that I could have the stamina to build in bowling. And that's just this season. I don't know if I'm gonna play, but I might play softball in the summer. So now my whole training cycle has to like be reevaluated because it's no more underhand stuff. It's all overhand. And I gotta like work on rotator cuffs and make sure everything is like fired up before I even touch a softball. And the structure of my workouts will then require another level of balance.
Do you think that like juggling and stuff would benefit your like softball or even your bowling? Because I
So,
feel like this throwing,
you
like
would
I,
think, right? Like it's all gonna work, but
yeah.
it, because of my injury, the intensity of that motion, because it's very like shoulder first dominant, I have to make sure everything is working.
Functional
Because
first,
that's
yeah.
the only reason why I knew I had a slap tear was because I was playing softball and I went to throw a ball and I could not throw with any power. It
Oh,
was just like a
yeah.
dead ball, and I felt this like pain in my shoulder. And I'm like, this is not right. And then I
This
went to the
isn't good.
doctor and they told me all this stuff. So, but at that time, I was still juggling kettlebells. I was doing all the hard stuff, not paying attention to the pain. But once I figured that out, I was like, no, I have to train accordingly. I can't just train just to train anymore. I have to train to make sure that my rotator cuffs is working and I have good mobility and I'm ready for that, the jolt motion of throwing and catching and all that other stuff.
Yeah. I never did softball, so it's a sport that I don't have like a lot of like knowledge on. So I was a soccer player.
Oh, I wanted to play soccer, but I was young. I thought the shorts were too short. I was like, I can't do that. My whole legs are going to be out. Why?
I played goalie, so I had sliders on
Oh,
underneath.
lucky
I
you.
wore softball sliders underneath my shorts because otherwise my legs would be eaten alive because I was soccer season was after football season, so our field was always garbage.
Oh, I can only
It
imagine
was
with all the
always
pizza.
trash. Yeah, so it was never a good field. It was always mud. It was always dirt. There's always rocks. So I wore sliders. So you could have worn sliders underneath if you're just going to be a
Yeah.
slider person.
I was too young to think about all of that. I just saw all the shorts. I'm like, no. And all the running.
There's
I hate
a lot of
running.
running. There's a lot of running. I did when I was in college, I played and we did a 5K. We'd have to go do like a cross. We did a cross country course every week. There is the first like 2 weeks of the season was just running, trying to get people to quit before they had to do cuts. It was crazy. It was out of control, honestly. It was
No, hate it.
no. I like the team aspect of it, but there's also like a million other things that just weren't fun. Also, I don't really want to, I can't really play contact sports like that anymore. I've taken a few hits to the noggin. So I gotta protect the head. That's why I stopped playing.
Really?
I stopped playing because I've had a few concussions and I had a girl on my team who had the same amount of concussions as me. But she was smaller than me. She got knocked out on the field, like fully knocked out. We had to go to the hospital and wait for her on in a bus in like some random town. And that was my sophomore year of college. And I was like, I take hits harder and more often than she does. I don't think that this is. I don't want that to be me. Like, I don't think like. And then I was in junior college, so I was like, there are people that. Like colleges being like, come play here or whatever. And I was like, I think I'm done. That like the seeing that and then additionally like having issues with coaching and all sorts of other stuff that weren't great. But it was really seeing my teammate be knocked out cold. Yeah, stretcher on the field to get her
That's
off the field.
scary.
It was so scary. And then we sat in a hospital parking lot for hours. Because we were hoping that she was going to be okay, and eventually, like her parents came and got her and whatever. Because we were in college, and I was like, "Yeah, I think I don't want that." Like I've take harder hits than she does. I
Want
think
that.
that's it. I don't want that to be me. Like I don't want to have lifelong damage to my head and my brain. You're a therapist. Like brain
Yeah,
damage is.
this
Not a
is
thing we
a
want
real
to
thing.
mess with. Yeah. It's not good. So, you gotta, and then I stopped training at all. I stopped working out for years after that. So,
Oh, really?
yeah, for years. I was a lifeguard and I was a swim instructor. But that's it.
Well, swimming is like working out.
Oh, it is. It definitely is. But I wasn't like swimming. I wasn't like doing laps. I was teaching babies. I was teaching, well, I mean, not just babies. I was up to like 13-year-olds and stuff. And honestly, you don't need to be like an endurance level swimmer to be able to teach a kid to not drown. It was like, I was like, let's teach these babies how to not flip over and so they know how to not die. Or let's teach these kids how to swim so they can, you know, make it across the pool or wherever they need to go so they can not die. That was my job. It wasn't like I was like, let's go.
That's an important job.
Every now and then I'd help with the like older kids who are like actually swimmers. And I was like, I'm just going to tell you what to do. I can't do a butterfly. So good luck. Sorry, your actual coach is out. I usually hang out with the 12-year-olds who are learning how to do a backstroke. So if they get really tired in the ocean, they know what to do. Sorry, guys. it wasn't bad though. But that's all I did for years, and then eventually, you know, found my way back to training. My dog is growling. I think there's a squirrel outside the window. there's a squirrel party always outside this window. So I've seen you lately be doing more home workouts versus like just in the gym. Is that like a new thing, or are you just more filming those? Like, because I presume you're working full time with your actual job, whereas my full time job is messing around with weights. So
no, it's definitely a new thing. But I would do it from time to time. I would work out at home, or I would go to the park. But I needed something that was really sustainable, because sometimes my day will start at 5:30, and it won't end till like 10, 11, 12 sometimes. So yeah. I needed to find something that was really comfortable for me to do where I didn't feel too stressed out about it. Like, I don't have to meal prep and pack 3 different bags to leave my house. I'm running away from home. When I can just do a quick workout, go upstairs, take a shower, have breakfast before I leave, or at least make a coffee before I leave, and then start my day.
Yeah. Is it, how is that? I don't know. Do you like working out at home, or do you like the home gym? I know people have like opinions on the home gym versus gym situation.
Oh, sounds like you have a hot take. Feelings about it.
That's fair.
Because I like it. It's convenient, but it's so easy to get distracted. Like, it's really easy to be like, oh, I need to do this real quick and then not go back. Or like, oh, I didn't eat. Let me eat real quick and then I'm going to go back, and then you don't go back. And there's so many distractions, like people, excuse me, responsibilities, like just things will get in the way. Mm-hmm. And I have a little bit of ADHD, so if I don't find the right song and it takes too long.
Very specific playlists for whatever vibe the day is, and hopefully I can stick into that playlist. But sometimes, you still have to spend 5 minutes more finding the song.
And then, like, I lost my pump, and it's like, what am I doing now? Oh, I have to remember.
But sometimes I just have to find one song and put it on repeat, and I'll listen to that one or two songs for like 30 full minutes.
Oh my God. Just let it go. Actually, recently, I've been doing the YouTube playlist, the like house music playlist stuff. Afrobeats. Oh my God, it's crack. Then I don't have to worry about the song, and I can just get into a groove. But I will say, one of the benefits of working out at home versus at the gym is really practicing discipline and focus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there are so many distractions, I really got to be like, no, I can't be bothered. Like, yeah. I just have to do this.
Literally turn my phone on do not disturb. Like, don't. And like, I also will set timers. So like, I like my goal is sometimes, you know, the days you're like, I don't want to do any of this. If I set a timer for 30 minutes, okay, all I have to do is not mess with my phone or not do other things for 30 minutes, to stay in this space and stay in that, that has been so helpful for me. Because by the time I'm done for 30 minutes, I'm like, well, I can just finish the whole thing at this point. Like, I'm already there. I just got to finish it now. And that's mentally keeps me in it a lot more than like anything.
Yeah, it's like being strategic. I know that I'm doing 3 sets of these 2 workouts, and then I'm going to do another 4 workouts, and then I'm going to do 2 more, and then that's it. Whereas when I'm in a gym, I want to do everything. If it's leg day, I'm going to hit the machines. I want to do deadlifts. I'm going to do squats. I got to do pull-ups, make sure I'm all activated. I got to do cardio. I got to do core. And it's just, the list goes on and on. And that's why sometimes I'll be there for like 2 hours. When I'm at home, it's like an hour, hour and 15 max. I'm like, nope, I'm done. I can't do it no more.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Most of my most of my workouts are under an hour at this point. I think most of them are under an hour. If I stay focused, if I don't stay focused, they get stretched. When I train bent press really heavy, those stretch. Like when I was going into a gym and doing bent pressing, and I was doing like 4 sets of 5 bent presses per side or something, those always took a million years. And not because the sets themselves took a million years, but the rest between the sets took so long. I'd have to rest like 8 minutes between a set just to be able to finish it. If you're working at 80, I was doing 85% of my max for reps. And the program I was using was just a powerlifting program, which was not meant for workouts that were for both arms. It's for like a bench or a squat or a dead. So then they would do it and they'd just do their 5 reps and be done, but I'd have to do it and then have to do it on the other side. So I was resting, having to rest a lot just so I could finish the workouts, which is also really hard for me because resting was like a thing that I didn't really get. I got it, but coming from a sport background, you rest what you did your sets for. Like if I do a 4-minute set, I'm resting max 4 minutes, usually less, so I could like work the cardio a little bit more. So doing like 2 minutes maybe of work and then resting for 8 minutes was insane to me. Like I was just, my brain was like, what do you mean? But it makes a difference. When I'm working out at home, generally, I can be done in under an hour. Even for sport workouts, I can be done in under about an hour. Probably. Some
tips. I think my brain just knows if it's not an hour, it's not a workout. My brain just says no, it's not done. It has not been long. Keep going.
Yeah, I mean, there's days where it feels like that, and that's when I do a lot of my flows or my complexes. Like that's when those come in. But like my actual and that's different though. Like if you're doing like hard heavy work for like a full hour, which is great, but if you do that all the time, that's gonna make your muscles sore all the time. And so it's good to, you know, just stop and like know where, like, okay, this is me pushing it, and that's cool. Maybe I stop where I've pushed. Like, that's okay. Like, that's where we're at today. Mm-hmm. If I do another set, I know I'm going to feel like crap tomorrow. But also just like sticking to my program. Like I have what I'm doing written down. Just do it. Like not trying to add extra because I don't feel like I worked not hard enough. Because your workout shouldn't be hard every single time. Like you should have days where you're working at 50%. You should have days where you're working, you know, at where you're like, oh, well, I just feel good now.
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons why I started working out at home, because I would go to the gym and I'm doing all this hard, intense stuff. And then I'm tired for like 3 days, or I'm just like pushing and dragging. And I really just wanted something that wasn't super crazy that I could possibly do in less than an hour.
Yeah.
Like 45 minutes, just because I don't have the time. Yeah. And it's not putting too much wear and tear on my body, and I can still move.
Mm-hmm.
without feeling like, oh my God, my back, or oh my God, my shoulder, because I'm sitting 75% of my day. If I'm not sitting in traffic, then I'm sitting at my desk. So anything that's going to break the static of just sitting was going to be beneficial. And I love the kettlebell because it allows me to work in multiple dimensions. Like I'm not just going down. I'm hitting a side swing. I'm doing a side lunge. I think CJ from Gymnasium or something like that. Oh, I got a brain fart. But CJ with the three-dimensional plane, oh, I love it. That's really a part of my workout and my warm up. Just like making sure my joints are loose. If I do that at the gym on a regular basis, I'd be in there for 3 hours. So that's one good day where it's like, okay, I'm gonna specifically do core and just like the little muscles, fast twitch, slow twitch, like nothing too crazy, and work on the multi dimensions. Like, oh, I'm a human being again. Because sometimes I'm working out 6 days a week, not on a regular basis. Lord have But if my workout routine is Monday through Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm bowling at night. Thursday, I might take a rest or I'll work out. Then Friday, I might take a rest or I'll work out. But then Saturday is my genuine, I'm going all the way cardio, lifting, body weight.
Hardcore.
Yeah. Then Sunday, I'm in Brooklyn with the Wolves. So that's still high intensity with a little bit of after party work and kettlebell flow. So I really just needed one day to be like,
Yeah, that's your schedule's a swap for mine, because I always do my hardest work on Monday. Like when I was doing my bent press work, my hardest day was always Monday. It was always my first workout of the week. Because
wow, no.
I always rest on Sunday. Because Sunday's when I do all my programming for my clients. I like it's like it's like a day where I'm doing a lot of computer work. So also trying to put in training that day was just not ideal. And also like I need a day off. So and my husband tends to have Sundays off. So it's just like a day where I can if I'm spending an hour in here or something or more because I've decided I'm gonna lay on the floor for a while because that tends to happen
That's what
sometimes it happens floor time and yeah so Sunday's always has kind of shifted into being like the day where I don't do anything other than a walk or something and then Monday's just like I'm gonna go hard I'm gonna go for it sort of day. And it's been pretty effective. But yeah, rest is so key for all of it though, because if you're not resting, you're gonna feel like crap. And you're gonna burn out. I think that's also a thing with new lifters coming in. They always get so afraid to take rest days. So like they're afraid if you take the one day off, they're gonna stop forever. It's like,
Yeah.
no. Rest isn't like a day off from your training. Rest is part of the training. Rest is a key component of your training cycle. If you don't rest, you're never gonna get anywhere. You have to let
No.
your body recover. You have to let your muscles rebuild. Otherwise, you're gonna feel like garbage all the time and you're never gonna progress. Do you ever do like mace swings at home? Because I know I had a client who did. Who there they drove everywhere that was their job they drove and like were on their butt all day so whenever they had breaks they would just do like 20 30 mace swings wherever they were and that's how they broke up their day versus like a full workout where they could do mace swings throughout they just kept it in their truck or they would do kettlebell swings depending on the day to
I
make themselves move.
thought about doing that, to be honest. I just had a day I didn't work out for like 3 days because I was tired and I was just like messing around in the living room. And I was like, yo, I can do this on a regular basis. Maybe like 50 swings a night, just call it a day. I
50
don't,
swings and some mobility, and you're like, cool, now I
right?
feel like a
See, I'm nice
person.
and warm. I can move. Hey, ho. But it's all in time management, honestly. Time management is the key. And that is the skill I'm working on right now.
It's hard. It's hard to do it, especially like with everything else you have to do in the day. And I like, and personally, like I don't have that much else to do with the day. And I still like have time management issues. Like my whole job is this and moving and whatever. So like I have such an advantage over people who work real human jobs versus.
You want to switch for a day? You can switch for a day. Like, let me do
I don't think
that
anybody needs me giving any mental health advice. Like,
No, we can switch. We can switch just one day.
you know,
You could do the
you're like,
intakes.
he did what? Punch him, break up with him. So that's
Oh my God.
all. I wouldn't be helpful to anybody's health or relationship. I can help them with moving real good. That's all I'm good for. And I know that
We can do movement therapy. That's a
movement
part
there.
of I'm not a traditional therapist. I'm a licensed creative arts therapist, and a part of that
Oh,
is just
cool.
everything creative, and so it encompasses movement, which is
Well,
really my next goal and endeavor, is to really kind of combine the two, because there's such a mind body soul connection when it comes to flow specifically. That's what I was talking about, like the unconscious and subconscious. Because in that moment, I'm present, but I'm in a different state of flow. And I've been reading this book called Mind Gym. It's a really good book. It's a really good book. And it talks about it's an upside down you. And I think it's the performance scale or something like that. But basically, your heart rate and the amount of pressure or something like that has to be at a certain level for you to get your best performance. So that's why people sometimes cave under pressure, or they kind of like really don't care too much about it. So they're not doing their best work because they don't have the right tension and that mind body soul connection to flourish. So I lost myself a little bit because that was getting good. That was getting real good. That's how much I love this book. Like, oh, all these
That's
gems.
great.
But essentially, you could take my position if you wanted. We could switch for a day. And all you got to do is just make that connection between the mind and body. Make it symbolic and therapeutic. We're not just flipping a kettlebell, but we're taking control over your life. Like, you're building the confidence to move something or move in a way that you've never done before, and then making sure that you can transfer it into other things. Like, you tackle this. So, yes, it might be uncomfortable to maybe like step up in your personal life and your relationships and maybe set those boundaries, but you've now practiced that with yourself. You've practiced the self-control. You've practiced the positive self-talk or the reinforcement or just being realistic. Now, what are the little steps that we can do to put that in other areas of your life?
Yeah, it's you're building the skills to know like you can do a hard thing.
Yeah, basically.
You can do hard and difficult and scary things. And if you can do a thing like flipping a kettlebell or doing a stupid heavy deadlift, what else can you do? What else have you been like talking yourself out of doing in your life? Because
Exactly.
I could talk myself out of doing all sorts of things. Like sport and with juggling, like there are points when you're in like sports sets where your brain is going, you need to stop. You have to put this bell down. This is too hard. You have to give up. And you have to be like, you have to have your brain be like, no. Don't let whatever little thing is in the back of my mind that's telling me no or I can't. You have to just tell it to shut up and keep going, or let it be there and just be like, this is happening. We're already doing it. I'm already happening. I'm already putting the bell overhead. There's nothing we could do. It's too late.
Now, can you imagine being a kid and your parents like, no, don't do this? I can't stop. I'm just doing it. I'm just doing it.
Happening. That's like one of the biggest things I coach with sport is the mental part of it, because I think it gets overlooked so often. Is it's hard. Like mentally it's difficult, but physically it's hard. Like physically doing 10 minutes of snatching is not an easy feat. But what happens most often for people when they're doing those sets is not their physical body stopping the set. It's their brain going, you can't do this, and talking them out of finishing the set, and being able to go, fuck you, brain, I can do this thing. Like, I'm doing it. I'm strong enough to do this. So I always like, whenever we have a 10-minute set coming up for myself or my clients, is one, have a game plan for those sets. Like, know what you want to do for each minute of that set, and also have things to tell yourself to drown out whatever that garbage voice is telling you, to just say, stop, put this down, this is too hard, we can't do this. Like, no, I can do this, I've trained for this, I'm really strong. It just one rep at a time. Like, there's all sorts of little mantras that I have kind of set in to put tell myself throughout sets, and set in for my clients to tell themselves throughout sets. So when we're in that point, because there's a point, like, there's no way that you're not going to get to 7 minutes and your brain's going to be like, this is a super cool and chill, this is a great thing that we're doing. You have to have like practices and skills in place so you can not stop. Because I've seen lots of strong lifters who are stronger than me not be able to finish their sets because their brain just like, can't do it. And especially with like sport, you're going to have bad reps. There's no way you're not going through a full 10-minute set, 200 reps, with every single rep being perfect, unless you're Dennis Vasiliev. And that's a separate issue entirely, but like, you have to be able to, like, okay, that set, but that rep was terrible, and not let that throw off your entire rhythm, because you have 7 more minutes to go. And to be able to, like, okay, well, that one's bad, what do I do now? Okay, well, this felt bad. Now I'm just going to take a couple of breaths here at the top and not over rush myself. And the next rep's going to be better. And then if that next rep is better, you can drop that old rep and let it go. That's why I love sport so much too. Cause I think it really helps people outside of sport. Like, they get stronger, they feel good, and they get to compete and push themselves. But I see a lot of them becoming more confident and like, just like physically, like, or like mentally, just like stronger, because they're practicing these skills in a sport set, and reminding themselves that they can do things that are terrible and hard, and they survive.
It's also the community aspect of it, because like, I might come in really, really bad at it, but I have all of these different people who are really modeling it for me. Like, I can do this. I might not be able to do it right now, but I'm going to do it in like 2 months, or I'm going to do it in a year. Come back. That's why I find that, like, it's really important to take certain videos.
Yeah.
Like, just for the content, but you'll look at yourself, like, the way I was flipping a kettlebell 3 years ago is not how I'm flipping a kettlebell right now.
No.
Not even close. And I've had moments where I was trying to do different flips, and if I was practicing it for myself, I probably wouldn't have got it that day. But I had Colin and I had Shada and Ricardo and Jay just like, you got this. Stop thinking too hard. Lock in. Focus. Like, little things in that little voice at that time where I might have been second guessing myself, it's more like, it's blocked out because I have that moral support. I have that warmth from my community to really just give me the nutrients needed in the moment to grow past that hindering moment or that insecurity.
Yeah, I love it. It's so good. That's also like when I went to that comp and I was like, oh, I miss this. It was like, oh, there's people here. Like, this makes it a better experience. I got CMS, which is Canada Mass for Sport, with a 20 kilo bell, which was 10 minute snatch. It was really, really hard. Like, in a room, solo, on a Zoom call, and you finish it, and I was like, that was like one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. I worked so hard, and then I just was like, okay, bye, on the Zoom.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, man, if I was like in person doing this, I would have been such a bigger thing. I would have had people. There would have been people being like, you did it. Look, it would have been like a cool thing, versus like in a room, and I was like, cool. And my husband was there, and he had to go back to school. He had to go back to work like immediately after. And he's like, good job, babe. And then left. And I was just like, I've been training for that for years. And now I don't have any of the like benefits of like doing the thing that I've been working for. It was so like, yeah, the community aspect of all weightlifting, I think, is so, was the one thing I miss about my with my home gym. It's like, man, if I could just bring in a few people so we could like cheer right? each other on in here, that would be great.
I just need you for like 20 minutes. Come, I need some moral support. That's
so, someone just said, yeah, I mean, that's why I sometimes will get my husband to come and be like, good job. Or my friend Marion, she's hopped on a lot of Zoom calls for me in my room. She's an angel. And I'll just be like, I just need someone to like be there while I attempt this lift. So if I do it, somebody can be excited with me.
Right.
And she's the greatest. When I did like a stacked kettlebell bent press thing for like 48, I don't know, something stupid, 44, 45. And she got to be there for it. I tried it by myself, couldn't get it. When she was sitting there, got it. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, we did it. Thank you for being here. I just needed someone to like cheer for me. I just needed someone to tell me that I was doing a good job.
I needed a witness. I needed the extra oomph. I needed the pressure. That's what it can be. Pressure. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. The ego is a beautiful thing. Sometimes you just need that little extra oomph. The positive reinforcement, the positive energy. Like, energy is real.
Yeah.
It is real.
It makes a difference. That's like what Belfast was too. It was just like there's like a cool, palpable energy of people, like, and all of them are excited. And like when you're doing something around you, like they all were pumped for you. And it was great. It made a difference. Like when I did a 48 kg bent press there, and I'd been training kettlebell bent presses for months at that point. I hadn't rest, like usually if I'm doing that heavy I've prepared for it. I just did it because there was a bunch of people around, and it was like, and they were so excited for me, and I was like, this is great. Like, could I have done this by myself in my home gym? Maybe. Like, maybe I could. I like physically I have the strength, but having a bunch of people being like, yeah, you're doing it, makes such a big difference. And it's I think that's one of the like magical parts about that event, is having that, like, all of the people there, and they all know what you're about too. Like, everyone there is like, you're doing a cool thing. I know what this is.
I came in all like discreet. I like to come in layers. I'm like Batman on the low. You don't know who I am till you know who I am. And somebody just came up to me and was like, yeah, are you the lady from the Wolf Pack with Kyle? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, oh my God, don't make me blush. Don't do it. It's me. Stop,
please.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But it's such a beautiful community. And I
think that's a really special thing about kettlebells.
Yeah, I forget how much we inspire and just like motivate people to be different, to stand out.
Yeah. People knowing my name in that there was like so wild to me. And I knew that I was like a person that I was like a coaching person there, but still people being like, oh, Tiffany. And just like knowing who I was, I was like,
right. I was looking for you. I was like, I know what she looks like.
Also, like, seeing people in person is such a trip. It's like, you're like a real human being.
Right? You're not just on my screen. You're like, you're tall or you're short. I'm like, wow, your voice really sounds like that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I have taken up enough of your time. I know you have like probably people to meet with afterwards. So how do people find you on the internet?
On the internet. Let me tell you the backstory. There is no backstory. Okay. At least it's not juicy. My godfather used to call me Dana Dane, like the rapper. Mm-hmm. So I just coined it into my lifestyle. So on IG, I am I_DanaDane, DanaDane, the GOAT.
I'll have it linked. Don't worry. We'll have you linked. And thanks for talking to me. It's so good to talk to you again. I'm glad I got to have you on, and I appreciate you, and I love your work. Like, I love your flows. They're so phenomenal. like truly like beautiful. I love your flows. And you're lovely, and everyone should follow Dana. And thank you so much for coming on, and we'll see you next time.
You see it? It's real love.
Thank you so much to Dana for taking time to come and chat with me. I so appreciate it. Make sure you are following her on Instagram. She's at @I_DanaDane the goat. You can find her on Instagram doing some amazing flow work. She's phenomenal, so definitely check her out. Also, if you are liking the podcast, please like it, subscribe to it, rate it. That definitely helps more people to be able to find the podcast, which I would really appreciate. And also linked in the show notes are ways that you can work with me. I will have all of my socials and ways that you can contact me if you are interested in getting some coaching. That's all I've got for this week. I will be back real soon with another episode with another awesome guest.